withdrawal from Lachti Oretz.
Eitz Yishuat Aleikeinu. So it's going on a pasuk in Tehillim, and the pasuk is a combination of two things. Zocha Chasev Nesu Eitz Yishuat, Kadosh Baruch Hu remembered his chesed and his emunat Klai Yisrael, but together with that it says, Ruah kol afti aretz et Yeshua Solekeinu. From all corners of the earth, they saw the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a combination here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows chesed and keeps his bris to Klai Yisrael, and it's something that became spread out to Mosaylam. So Chazal say, so Rabbi Yechon says, Eimah say Ruah kol afti aretz uchulu, Bemor Chavesta, this is Bemor Chavesta. The Megillah talks about a very mefursim dika, chesed and so on. Even though we always speak about the Megillah being behester in terms of the quality of the events, in terms of what was going on there, but in terms of how far it spread, there was very far-reaching. Why? So even Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael. The many nisim in Tanakh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping Klal Yisrael were all part of this is Klal in Eretz Yisrael. Or the previous cases, I guess, with the Mitzrayim and everything, there was one locus, there was one point that it was all happening on. So those nisim happened in very specific places, and it didn't dissipate so readily. When he was gazed to Lash Yisrael, it went out in the whole world. So the whole world became aware of the fact that Klal Yisrael was in danger. They all knew that there was, they were given free license to kill, and they all knew that the tables had turned. Let's talk a little bit about this, and he has one more nekuda, which we'll see in a second. If we go back the way that the Kadmonim explain the Matar of the Bria, so the Matar of the Bria is to bring about a tikkun of the world. Being that the world collapsed and things were not going well, the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do that is by choosing a particular nation, perfecting them or bringing them to perfection, and that would influence everybody else. So Klal Yisrael has in itself two missions. One is mitzad atzmo, and one is mitzad its hashpo on others. Both of them are included in its mission. The focus of our avodah is only on ourselves. There is no inyan or mitzvah adab, it's contrary to it, to go out and to be mashpia on Mosaylam. But if we perfect ourselves, we are mashpia on Mosaylam. Mosos Yisharim, when he speaks about Chavis Adam Bailomoy, he speaks about a person's personal perfection. And then he says, and if the person perfects himself, he brings everything that's come in contact with him, he brings to Shleimus. That's the way he describes that mission and so on. We will understand that the to that nekuda particularly is the snagdus of Amalek. It says, Rafutna has a whole piece, repeats it twice, about a phenomena called Tidal Melech Goyim. If you take a look in the parsha of the Dal Melochim, so it says that there were Avraham Avinu fought with the Hay Melochim, Kineged Dal Melochim. The Dal Melachim were very, very powerful Melachim, and he fought, and he took the side of the Hay Melachim, and it goes through all the different Melachim. So it has four Melachim, which Chazal, the Medrash says, is keneged the Dalet Malchias, and you have Amrofel Melech Shinner, Ariach Melech Alosek, Doim Melech Elam, Vesidol Melech Goyim. So the last one is called Melech Goyim. Sidol is called Melech Goyim. And it's hard to understand why it's called Melech Goyim. Rashi says over here, I mean, it doesn't have any specific designation. Uma, Mokum Yesh Hashmoy Goyim, Al Shem Sheniskapsa Shom Mikama Goyim, Mekoyim Zichah Ishalem Hashmoy Tidal. It was a place where many umos got together. This was like a kind of UN of sorts, and he was the Melech of the UN. A Rosh, of course. The opposite, Chazal say in the Medrash that Shesholach Trunya Legoyim, Alumas Olam, I don't remember exact Lashon, that it was called Tidal Melech Goyim. He was a king who agitated and incited the Goyim to fight against Klal Yisrael. So Malchus Edom and Amalek, as the spitz of Edom, had in themselves two tchunas. They were a nation, a particular nation, which is a very specific umma and has in itself its own tchunas, but it's known for being inciting other umas against Klal Yisrael. And Rav Hutna draws the line that the first place where that malchus incited another malchus, as opposed to when Amalek came against Klal Yisrael in Rephidim, which was the Umma of Amalek against the Umma of Yisrael, and later on in the Tekufa of David and Shaul, but specifically as an instigator and a provocateur between other umos, that was in the May Achashveros. It was Haman sitting inside the Malchus of Paras, inciting Achashveros against them, and getting all the 127 umos that comprised the greater Persian Malchus to go out and to kill Klal Yisrael. So the first appearance as a Malek, as Tidal Melech Goyim, we understand it as a zel umaseh of Klal Yisrael's mission. Klal Yisrael's mission is to perfect themselves and to be mashpia on the old umas olam, and Amalek is the opposite. It's the same thing when Amalek came against Klal Yisrael. It gave a mashal like when somebody jumps into a hot bath and he gets burned, but it cools it off everybody else, and everybody else says it's not so bad. So when you have an enemy that's invincible and somebody goes and fights, so even if he gets a bloody nose, but other people are not so scared anymore. So that was why Amalek's going to fight with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. They didn't harbor any illusions of their own victory, but they were there to pave the way out for the other goyim. In other words, the Zelumas, Klal Yisrael has the keser of Malchus of all other umos. Av hamoin goyim. It says there's a Lashon Chazal, Klal Yisrael went into Golus only to bring back Geirim. And now, just in general, when you find Chazal like that, there are many Chazal, and Chazal give many reasons. But one of the Mataris of Klal Yisrael going into Golus is that they come into contact with many, many other umos and they're able to be mashpia. So Klal Yisrael sees its matara as imposing its malchus on umos olam. That's through a b'china of malchus v'ratzim kibla, but that's what they're doing. They're projecting the emes of Torah and umos olam attracted to it. Amalek, who stands zel umos zeh in Klal Yisrael, is coming to break that and adarabah to incite the other umas against Klal Yisrael so that they're not mushpa. And Amalek has the keser of Tidal Melech Goyim. He has the keser of Malchus the other umas. The Maral brings in some of the prints. They have it. He brings a Chazal that Amalek was metamek Klal Yisrael to Mishkav Zocha. So he explains that, in other words, all the other umos are b'china of nekevis. They are an extension of somebody else's hanhaga. Masha'ein Kain, Amalek is the only one that actually rivals with Klal Yisrael over whose vision should be Ke'ilu the dominating vision. Whose Metzias is the Metzias that's leading the world? So Haman's Asiyah and Amalek's Asiyah was to make the Truma, the Truma with the other Umos HaOlam, and therefore they would now go and go against Klal Yisrael. What happened is V'nafahu, when it flipped around, all the Umos HaOlam saw Yeshua as Hashem. So what happened was, it was a type of nace that gained more exposure than it would have been otherwise if it were in its own place. So this is the first time, this is Klal Yisrael, this is the nace that Klal Yisrael found amongst Umos HaOlam, and therefore there was a hashpah on Umos HaOlam from it. That's why at the end of Megillah you have V'harbi Mama Eretz Mesiyadim K'nachal Pach B'Yehudim Aleihem. There was the first time, maybe the only time mentioned in Kisa Kodesh, the Kans. I mean, there's one other place, but where a specific Umu was Misgaya. But the fact that many nations from many different walks of life found an interest in Yiddishkeit was because of this, of the way the Nes was set up, that Klal Yisrael was Mashpia, Klal Yisrael was Beina Umos. These Gezeira specifically came from all the Umos, and when the Yeshua came, it was an Ashpia on all the Umos. Then he has a second Nekuda to this Inyan. V'oid yadu adavazeh v'chachma ki reishis goyim ha-molik v'kasha hoishim Hashem Yisparach me'homan shuhu mizera ha-molik k'ilu hoishia oisa mikol ha-umos v'lekach roh kol afsi ha-tis Yeshua Hashem ha-keinu koya adavazeh. So he adds a second Nekuda that which is a sort of deeper Havanin in this Inyan. The whenever something is termed as racious, let's give the example words give. If you have a seed and a seed grows into a tree, and the tree has the trunk and the branches and the leaves and the fruits and all the different parts of the tree. So at the level of where it's already manifest, then all of these are different parts of the tree. And each one is separate. And each one has its own properties. The fruit might be edible, the trunk may be not edible, and so on. But each one does not necessarily have to have a chelik of the other. The trunk has certain strength through it, the fruit has certain strength through it, the flower has certain strength through it, etc. But when you touch the seed, since the seed is the rachis, it includes all the elements that's in it. The seed has in itself a nekuda of fruit, a nekuda of trunk, a nekuda of root. It all has to be there because it's in the rachis. In other words, the term rachis defines something which is all-inclusive. It's something that includes everything. It includes everything that is of the same system. It couldn't be a rachis to something if it's not part of that same system. An apple seed can't be a rachis to a pear tree because there's no pears that will ever grow from the apple seed. The Umos HaOlam, in as much as each one is a distinct entity, it's a distinct entity, and one has no real shaykhus to the other. Amalek is called Rashis, so that means Amalek contains in itself all the nekudas of future of all the Umos, because it couldn't be a Rashis to those Umos. It could not have bred those Umos if it wouldn't be there. So when Klal Yisrael, when Amalek came against Klal Yisrael, there's a certain power that it has in the fact that it encompasses all the Umos. It's in its pchinas reishis goyim, it includes all the Umos. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Klal Yisrael, it saves Klal Yisrael from a type of matziv which is the entirety of the Umos. So that's that. This definition of pasuk is not that the other umas ha'olam saw it. Amos Ayroh Kol Af Se'aretz is included in Amalek as well. Amalek has in itself the metzias that is like Klal Yisrael, and therefore when they say it, it's like say for many umas. I guess let's try to take this inyan over a little bit to things that are geared to us. These are whenever Klal Yisrael through the Deiris has been in Tzaris countless of times. Our whole history is a history of Tzaris. There's a book, a history book we have in the library. We have a photocopy that I made. It's three thick volumes called Sefer HaTemo'os, and it's just a list of it's about 1,000 pages of all of the known gzeiros and killings and lynchings and inquisitions and whatever else we've had throughout the days. So we're not strangers to Tzaris. But you can divide particular Tzaris, particular umos. We were in France and the French threw us out, they made gzeiros on us. We were in England, the English threw us out, they made gzeiros, so on. Those are particular events, and they come within the scope of some particular inyan. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know. Most of the time we don't know, but at least we look at it as a particular. There are sweeping events that are global. The Christian church versus Klal Yisrael, the Muslim world versus Klal Yisrael, Germany versus Klal Yisrael, in the sense that it was a world power that seemed to be between the powers of the axis, it seemed to encircle the globe, are different types of Muhammad with Klal Yisrael. The general sweep of Western culture versus Yiddishkeit. Anytime we're dealing with something much bigger than a particular event, its significance is much bigger. And on the one hand, it's a very tough nut to crack. In other words, I don't mind particularly having a problem in one medina where their minhag is to do X and I do Y. But when I perceive something as being true of Western society and I'm different, it makes it very hard. Because when I'm dealing with something that I sense is universal, it's very tough to be different and so on. Me'idach gisa, whenever we have those nisyonos and we face up to them, the hashpah is extremely, it's worldwide. And Klal Yisrael has as its mission to be mashpia on the world. The only difference between us and the people that misuse the Tikkun Olam slogan, which has become the most meaningless slogan, by people whose Yiddishkeit is meaningless almost. We understand that Tikkun Olam is the Tachlis Habriya. That's what we spell for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. The understanding is that when a person is metakin himself, as since we live in a society that is so Me'uriv Bein Agoyim, it has that hashpah. For better or for worse, Klal Yisrael's Golos today is in place or in places that are really, really Tidol Melech Goyim, like Rashi could have described here. He says it's a makom niskapsa shom mikama goyim u'mikoymos imlichish aleim. If any country fits that description, our country fits Malcolm that this capsa shamikama goyim mekomos. I remember once I was standing in Port Authority, and just I had been there as well for a long time, so that's why it's the first thing in Port Authority. But that's why it struck me, which says I was saying to myself, I've never seen so many different umos and such a bubble of languages and culture as passing through it. There's an incredible amount of concentration of different umayyads, and that means that it's a matter where Klal Yisrael is holding on to where they are is also mashpia on everyone else. on the one hand, it's a very tough fight, because when you perceive that you're not just different than the local Polish peasant, but you're different than civilized cultural society worldwide, it's very difficult. Mitzad sheni, when you stand straight and strong, and you are who you are, then you must be on everybody. The Baruch Hashem, at present, Baruch Hashem, it's through Darche Noam, it's not through Tzaris, but even, you know, and the truth is, even if you go back the last century, through last century, the issue is that Klal Yisrael's kemat perishing in the Holocaust and being saved, being able to establish a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, those were events that shocked the world. They were at a point, they were in the center of the storm of goyim, you know, of umos. It wasn't you know, wasn't a little something tucked away in a tiny place somewhere, you know, in a Tasmania of sorts. It was something that was a metzias that somehow, you know, every one of 180 umos think that it's their business. That's one aspect of it. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Yeshua, it sends a tremendous message. Hopefully this is the end of the Golias, and the fact that we're holding by Tidal Melech Goyim, the matzav today is where the things were involved and seem to be very global in their scope, is on the one hand, it's very challenging, it's difficult. On the other hand, it also is a tremendous opportunity. We understand that there's a special Gilei HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Zocher Chasdei V'Nos B'Yisrael Ruach Kol Afsei. If we're Zeichet to the Chesed Nishuv HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it becomes a first to the Afsei Olam as well. Okay.